1 Kings, chapter 17. Book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. Before we read this chapter, you notice the first word is a conjunction, and, showing that what transpires in this chapter is a continuation of what has gone before. Coming to this chapter, 58 years has passed since the kingdom of Israel was split in two following the death of Solomon. During that 58 years, there were seven kings, and every one of them, without exception, were wicked. Those seven kings were Jeroboam, back in 1 Kings chapter 12. The next king was Nadab. We read of him in 1 Kings 15 and 26 that he did evil in the sight of the Lord, walked in all the ways of his father, and in sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. Nadab was succeeded on the throne by the very man who murdered him, Baasha. Next came Elah. Elah was a drunkard, who in turn was a murderer. His successor was Zimri. Zimri was guilty of treason. Zimri was followed by Amri. Notice in 1 Kings 16, verse 25, he did worse than all that were before him. And in verse 30, and Ahab the son of Amri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Following Amri was Ahab, and he was the worst yet. So, defiance of the Lord, blatant wickedness, has now reached the culminating point. And the conditions that prevailed at this time were absolutely abominable. Israel had turned from God to worship false gods. It had been declared throughout the land that Baal lived and that God had ceased to be. God had basically become a myth to the people of Israel. We see, according to 1 Kings 19 and verse 10, it was a time not only did Israel forsake the Lord, they threw down the altars of the Lord and killed the prophets of God. In the eyes of the people, God and his prophets were the enemy. It was during the reign of Ahab that his youngest son, we see in 1 Kings 16, 34, his youngest son rebuilt Jericho. And Joshua said back in Joshua 6 and verse 26, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth the city of Jericho. So in addition to everything else, they were under the curse of God. Spiritual death hung over everything. It looked as though Satan had obtained the mastery of the situation. In the midst of all the wickedness, in the midst of all the rebellion and hatred against God, in the midst of all the spiritual darkness, in the midst of all the spiritual degradation, we are introduced for the first time to a man by the name of Elijah. The chapter opens with Elijah, the prophet of God, announcing to wicked King Ahab that there would not be dew, that there would not be rain for years to come. No moisture. This was a judgment of God because of the sin of idolatry. Notice, begin reading in verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, or Kereth, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, which was Jezebel's territory, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse or jar. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. In these verses we see, or we are told, how that Elijah, a widow woman, and her son were able to live in these wicked and famine-stricken times. And as we read this chapter, there is much instruction, much more than we can bring out in one message. There is much instruction for us in these verses concerning living in the days in which we live. I want to speak this morning on the subject of living victoriously in a world of wickedness and famine. I want to mention seven things. Some, just one or two, we'll spend much time on. But first of all, Elijah was aware of the person of God. We see in verse 1, when he stood before Ahab, who of course was the enemy of God and the worshiper of Baal, he said, as the Lord God liveth. Elijah knew with full assurance. Elijah had a deep-seated conviction that God was eternal, that God was immutable, that God was sovereign, that God was omniscient, that God was almighty, and that God was living. He was very much aware of the person of God. And if we're going to live victoriously in the times in which we live, we must be very, very aware of who God is. Secondly, Elijah was very conscious of the Lord's presence. Verse 1, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. Again, with deep conscience, with deep conviction, with much assurance, he knew that God was living, he knew that God was reigning, and he knew that he was in the very presence of the Lord. He could feel God. He could feel the presence of God. God was very real to Elijah. And again, if we're going to live victoriously in the days in which we live, not only must we be aware of who God is, We must be conscious of the presence of the Lord at all times. Thirdly, we see that Elijah had faith in God. This is implied in what he said to Ahab in verse 1, but as you read through the chapter or through the text, we see that he believed, and we see that he had confidence in the person of God. And he believed and had confidence in whatever God said. He depended and he relied upon who God was. He depended and relied upon what God said. He trusted who God was. He leaned and he rested upon who God was. And he trusted and he leaned and he rested on whatever God said. If God said, go to the brook Kereth, off he went. If God said, go to Zarephath, off he went. He believed. He had faith. He was surrendered to who God was. He was willing to surrender to whatever God said. And again, this is seen throughout the chapter. He didn't just talk about his belief in God. He lived it. And when God spoke, he listened. And he obeyed. Fourthly, we see that Elijah had God's glory at heart. In 1 Kings 19 and 10, we'll not turn there, but you can if you want to, but we read something of the character of Elijah. And he said there in that verse, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. What that means is the honor of God's name meant something to Elijah. And you'll never live victoriously in a world of wickedness and famine as long as your will, your plans, your pleasures take precedence over the honor and glory of God. Fifthly, and we'll spend some time here, Elijah heard the instruction of God. He believed the promise of God. He obeyed. And he found God to be faithful. That is a fourfold cycle. We have the instruction of God. We have the promise of God. We have obedience to the instruction. And then we have the awareness that God is faithful. A fourfold cycle that is repeated three times in this chapter. First of all, there was the instruction of God. Following Elijah's announcement to Ahab that there would be years of no moisture, there in verse 1. Verse 2, we read, and the word of the Lord came unto him. God spoke. And Elijah listened. God spoke. God still speaks. And Elijah listened. He said, Elijah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave here. Get the hints. And I want you to go down. I want you to head east. And I want you to go to the brook of Kereth. And notice it says, hide thyself there. Because Ahab and Jezebel would be after him. He said, I want you to go there and I want you to hide yourself by that brook before Jordan. So there's instruction. The instruction was very plain. Now today, if that instruction was given, people would say, well, what brook, Kereth, Lord? Which brook do you mean? Elijah knew. And you and I know. And he listened to what God said. Then there was a promise of God. And it shall be, verse 4, that thou shalt drink of the brook. Thou shalt drink of the brook. Nothing amazing about that. People drink from brooks all the time. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So God instructed Elijah to go to a specific place. And there, in that specific place, Elijah had the promise that there would be water to drink, and the ravens would bring him his food. Very important word there in the last word of verse 4 is there. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Elijah, you go anywhere else, and you're going to miss your meal. You got to go to Kereth. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The promise was limited to there. Elijah could not do as he pleased, go wherever he pleased, and have this promise. The promise was for there. No other brook would do. The promise does not apply to any other brook. It applies only to this brook. Beware of taking yourself out of the realm of God's promise. People do it all the time. They take themselves out of the realm of God's promise, and then they say, well, God promised. Yeah, but you're not in the place where He promised. And how many times you hear people giving promises of God to people who are nowhere near the realm of God's promise? Don't do that. Don't do that. The promise applies for the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So we have instruction. We have the promise of God. Next we have obedience. Verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He did exactly what God told him to do. Why? Because he believed God. Because he believed what God said. He believed the promise of God. So he obeyed. Faith works. Faith produces obedience. Now, to drink from the brook, nothing unusual about that. But for the ravens to feed him bread and meat. They may have made the sandwich and brought it to him. But they brought him bread and meat. That is beyond reason. That is beyond reason. But what was it that Elijah put his faith in? Did he put his faith in the ravens? No. The basis of his faith is the latter part of verse 4. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. The I have commanded. That's the basis of the faith. That's what he's trusting in. He's not trusting in the ravens. He's trusting in the fact that God has commanded the ravens to do that which was contrary to their nature. So believing that God had commanded the ravens, Elijah went down to Kereth. There was the faithfulness of God. Notice verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, just like clockwork. And he drank of the brook. You have the faithfulness of God. Elijah did what God said. And now Elijah sees that God is faithful. God is faithful to his word. God did exactly what he said he would do. Elijah, at no point did Elijah wander from the brook. At no point did he seek other means. Had he done so, he might not have been there when the ravens came. He would have missed a meal. There, at the brook, was a special place. And when God says, go there, there is always a special place. There is God's place of promise. There is God's place of provision. There is God's place of protection. There is God's place of privilege of seeing how faithful God is. The problem today is people want all of those things, but they don't want to go there. They don't want to go where God told them to go. We read in verse 7 that after a while, the brook dried up. You know, that's another message. That which was natural ended before the supernatural. The brook dried up. And if God were to tell you to go down and drink at a brook, you fine, I can do that. But if God were to tell you the ravens are going to come and bring you food, you're going to have a little more difficulty believing that. But it was the natural that ended first. Be careful. Be careful where you put your faith. The brook dried up, and it didn't just dry up overnight. Elijah noticed the water level was going down, but Elijah never took matters into his own hands. Never did. Perhaps he went out there every day and measured it with a stick. And he could see the water level was going down. And perhaps he could even calculate in his mind when the brook would dry up. But he stayed there. He stayed there. He never took matters into his own hands. Today, people say, well, it's common sense. If the brook is drying up, it's common sense. Go somewhere else. No, it's disobedience. Until God says, move. It's disobedience. So he stayed until the brook dried up, until he heard from God. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him. Now we're starting that cycle all over again. And the word of the Lord came unto him. And he heard, and he listened. Notice again the cycle. There was instruction. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Go to Zarephath. That's the instruction. There was the promise of God. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there. The promise only applies to there. To sustain thee. Again, he's not to put his faith in the widow woman. He puts his faith in, I have commanded a widow woman. There. Again, the promise is limited to there. There was obedience. He obeyed what God said in verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And he saw the faithfulness of God. When he got there, there she was. And the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil was sufficient. When Elijah arrived at the gate of the city, he found in verse 10, he found that this woman was gathering sticks. Elijah asked her to give him a little water in his vessel. And she was on her way to do so. Probably there was a well nearby that had not yet dried up. And then he said,
also I'll take a mouthful of bread, a morsel of bread. This woman was poverty stricken. She said to Elijah in verse 12, I have not a cake. That is, I do not have a morsel of bread. I do not have a mouthful of bread. And then she went on to say, I have but a handful of meal, cornmeal in a barrel, and I have a little jar of oil. And then she went on to explain to Elijah what she was doing. She says, I'm out here, I'm gathering two sticks. That's all I'll need. I don't need a big fire because all I have is a handful of meal. And I'm out here gathering two sticks, and then I'm going to go home. And I'm going to mix that handful of meal with the oil, and I'm going to bake a morsel of bread for the last meal for my son and I. The cycle then repeated itself for the third time. Verse 13, Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after that make for thee and for thy son. There's instruction. There's instruction. Verse 14, there's a promise. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal that you just have a handful in shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. There's instruction, there's a promise. Verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. There's obedience. And the barrel of meal, and then we see the faithfulness of God, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil wasted not. So we have instruction, and we live in wicked times. But if you listen, you'll hear the instruction of God. And if you'll listen, you'll also hear the promise of God, and it's limited. It is limited. It is within the bounds of God's instruction. Believing that promise, you obey. And when you do that, you will see the faithfulness of God. Sixthly, Elijah, we're backing up a little bit here now, but Elijah obeyed in spite of inconvenience. Again, Elijah was there at the brook Kereth. The brook dries up, and God says, Elijah, I want you now to go down to Zarephath. That was almost 100 miles away. This wasn't just a little walk. This was almost 100 miles away. And these were not normal times. This was a time of famine. Walking 100 miles in a famine-stricken land. But it didn't matter to Elijah. He simply obeyed what God said. We too must do the same. It's not about our convenience. It's about obeying God. And then seventhly, Elijah, the widow woman, and her son had an inexhaustible supply that they drew from every single day. We see that in verse 15 and verse 16. And in a world of wickedness, where spiritual death and darkness hover over like a cloud, in a world that is a spiritual wasteland, a place of devastation, a place of desolation, Be sure of this today. There is such a thing as God's inexhaustible provision. It is found in Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ. And we, like this widow woman, though saved by the amazing grace of God, we must continue to live in a barren world. We must continue to live in a world of difficulty, in a world of need. We must continue to live in a world of spiritual poverty, in a world filled with sorrow, a world filled with trials, and a world filled with tribulations, and a world that is defiling, and a world that has a very powerful draining effect upon the child of God. But just like this widow woman, we have an unfailing and inexhaustible supply in Christ Jesus. Again, read verse 15 and 16. They could have, that is, Elijah, the widow woman, and her son, they could have, like many of God's people do, went to other places in search of what they needed. They could have got up in the morning and searched the cupboards for something else, but the cupboards were bare. They could have said, you know what, let's go out in the streets and look and see what we can find out there. The streets were filled with death. They could have walked through the fields, but the fields were barren. They could have gone out and dug in the ground, but the ground was dust. Yes, they could have gone many different places and searched for what they needed. But why would you, when what you need is right there? And that's a good question for all those who spend their time wandering through a world that does not have what you need. And yet you wander through the world going from place to place looking for satisfaction. Why would you do that? Why would you do that when you have an inexhaustible and an unfailing supply in Jesus Christ? But they could have done that. And had they done those things, their lives would have been different. They would have become weak. They would have become weak. They would have become hungry. They would have worn themselves out. And they would have returned home empty every single day. They would have lived lives of disappointment. They would have lived lives of dissatisfaction. But instead of doing those things, they went to that inexhaustible source of supply. Morning, noon, and night. There was no need to wonder. What they needed was in that barrel of meal. And every single day, there was meal in that barrel. There was oil in that jar. No matter what a day brought forth, they could go to the barrel. They could reach down and there was meal. They could go to the jar and there was oil. Yes, they could have gone outside. They could have looked in the fields. They could have searched the cupboards. They could have gone down through the streets. But they would not have found what they needed. So it is today. What we need is in Christ Jesus. And it's an inexhaustible supply. I don't believe that they ever went away from that barrel disappointed. You can go out into the streets. You can go out into the fields. And you'll come home disappointed if you're looking for spiritual strength. If you go to Jesus Christ, will not leave disappointed. You will find spiritual strength. You will find spiritual contentment. You will find spiritual satisfaction. You can mark it down. If people God's people are not satisfied, if God's people are not content, if they're weary, if they're worn, if they're hungry, if they're empty, they're looking in the wrong places. They're not feeding from the barrel because there's food there. And then, well, you don't know my heart. No, but I know your life. And when you see people hungry and empty, they're eating at the wrong place. Every single day, no matter what was going on, they had an inexhaustible source to draw from. And so it is with you and I. No matter how much they took out of that barrel, there was still enough. No matter how much they drew from that barrel, there was still enough. And so it is today. You see, if we're going to live victoriously in this world, we need to live our lives in the awareness of who God is. Don't forget God. Don't forget who God is. Don't try to figure it all out. Be aware of the great God that you have. Secondly, always be conscious of the presence of the Lord. Thirdly, live with faith in God. Believe who He is. Don't put your faith in the ravens. Don't put your faith in the widow woman. Put your faith in the one who's in control of those things. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. I have commanded a widow woman of Zarephath to feed thee. That can be true in so many ways in our life. I have commanded a plant to stay open until you don't need it anymore. God does these things for His people. We need to live with faith in God. We need to live with a heart zealous for the Lord, for the glory of God. We need to live always listening for the instruction of God. Someone will say, well, we're going to do this. We've prayed and prayed and God hasn't answered, but we're just going to go ahead and do such and such. That's foolish. God hasn't answered yet. You can still wait. Listen. Listen for the instruction of God. Within that instruction, within the bounds of that instruction, and you've got to stay in the bounds of that instruction, there is the promise of God. Believing that promise, you then obey. And when you obey, you will see wonderful things. You will see God doing exactly what He said. You will see the faithfulness of God. Sixthly, we need to live obeying God no matter what the inconvenience. Walked over 100 miles in a famine-stricken world, simply to obey the Lord. And then lastly, live drawing from an endless and exhaustless supply. We have that in Christ Jesus today. Yes, just like Elijah, we live in hard times. We live in a famine-stricken land. We live in a land far worse than physical famine. We live in a time of spiritual famine. But you don't have to conform to the world. You can live above the world. I don't care how bad it gets. You can live above.